Mr. Ronald Lee is a Canadian-born Romani author, journalist, lecturer, editor, and founder of the Romani folk music group Jivindiac, which in English means the living fire. He has been active in Romani affairs in Canada since the mid-1960s and is a founding and a member of the Romani Community and Advocacy Center in Toronto, as well as he is a Canadian representative to the Romani National Congress. His autobiographical novel, Godam Gypsy, is the only account of Romani life in Canada written by a person of Romani ethnicity. He has also published numerous articles for both scholarly and academic publications, as well as for the popular media. His most recent article is Post-Communist Romani Migration to Canada, which appeared in the Cambridge Review of International Affairs, Spring-Summer Edition, year 2000. His current book, The Gypsy Invasion, Romani Refugees in Canada, is currently being reviewed for publication. Ron has been involved as a consultant in the research and the development of two recent documentaries produced by the National Film Board of Canada, The Gypsies of Svinia and Opera Roma. He was also consultant and Romani translator for the documentary Saprino, released in March of 2003. He is currently teaching a spring seminar, The Romani Diaspora in Canada, at New College in the University of Toronto. He will speak about Roma in Canada, activism in Toronto since 1997, and his University of Toronto course. Please welcome Mr. Ronald Lee.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here, and I'll try to get as much in as I can in 15 minutes. Maybe I should begin at the beginning. The so-called gypsies, or as we prefer to be called, Roma, originated in India. We are not of any particular specific Indian group. We are a mixture of groups, in all probability, an army and its camp followers that were forced to leave India in the early 11th century because of repeated invasions by the Ghaznavid dynasty from Afghanistan. These invasions went on for over a century under the Ghaznavids and their successors, during which time large areas of the northern central part of India were devastated and populations were forced to relocate elsewhere. Most of them relocated in India to the south. One went up into Nepal and mixed with the local inhabitants and are now known as Gurkhas. One of the input groups in our original conglomerate population were the group, some of the people who today are known as Banjara. They have folk legends where they say that a group of their people was driven out of India by the Ghaznavids. There are other factors that point to this. First of all, Romani has only two genders. Our language, Romani, has two genders. All Indian languages related to it had three until the 10th century AD, when the three genders of Indian languages were reduced to two genders. So a comparison of the neuter words in Romani, which are now masculine, and a comparison of the neuter words in Hindi that are now masculine is a 98% match. So it's obvious that we could not have left India until this change of genders had taken place, which had to be in at least no earlier than the end of the 10th century. So experts who claim Roma left India 500 years prior to this are wrong, because not only the gender thing, but there are other factors that prove them wrong. Aroma left India and made their way fairly quickly to what is now Turkey, the eastern end of Turkey, which was then the Byzantine Empire. There they picked up a large battery of Greek terms, which they added to their Romani language. The fact that all of these Greek terms are in all Romani dialects, whether they're spoken in Siberia, Wales, Spain, or Norway, indicate they were one people when we arrived. We didn't come in small groups over a long period of time, because the loan words picked from European languages, not only Greek, are the same in all our dialects, which means we all went through at the same time. So these are just demolishing some of the theories you will read in earlier books about who are the Roma. When the Roma arrived in Europe, in Eastern Europe, they were valued for their artisan skills, and they were, if not welcomed with open arms, they had a place in society between the peasants and the nobility. In Western Europe, they were not. In Western Europe, there were already trade guilds in existence who resented the Roma coming in as skilled artisans and entertainers, nibbling at the union pie, as one might say. So they complained to the kings who had issued the royal charters for these trade guilds. The Roma were interlopers, and that was one of the reasons they were persecuted. There were others. But Roma were persecuted just for being Roma. They were sent to the colonies of France and Spain in banishment. They were hung. France and Spain sent them to the galleys. They were so persecuted that they were forced to become commercial nomads and find a way of surviving by traveling around in small numbers, never staying long enough in one place for the minions of the king to round them up and exterminate them. Eventually, they became more tolerated and gradually found a niche in these societies. However, the Roma in Central Eastern Europe and the Balkans were, if not welcomed, were able to practice their trades, except in Romania, where they were slaves. In the Ottoman Empire, they were fairly well treated, with the result that they increased in numbers. So while the Roma of Western Europe have always been way less than 1% of the national population, today those of Eastern Europe sometimes represent 10% or more of the national population. So we are not dealing with a few thousand footloose nomads, we're dealing with an ethnic minority. And as you will see in these films tomorrow, what the result has been: apartheid, pogroms, persecution, specialized education or lack of education for the children. So Roma appeared in Canada around 1885. There were groups, families and clans from Eastern Europe. When they first arrived in Canada, they traveled a lot between Canada and the U.S. So we're really talking about North American Roma rather than strictly Canadian Roma or American Roma. Their families are all interrelated. They traveled around Canada and the U.S. Trading horses. At first it would be some of the family in the east of Canada, some in the west, and those in the west had land near railway lines. So they would get riding horses out west, ship them back to eastern Canada. Those in eastern Canada would send draft horses out west, where they were needed by the immigrant farmers who were setting up homesteads in what was then the Northwest Territories. So this was how the Roma got started in Canada. With the advent of the automobile, they began traveling on the carnivals. The carnivals traveled mainly by rail, But Roma also had their own smaller carnivals that travelled more locally, while the big carnivals would go from Halifax, Nova Scotia, all the way down to Chicago and back across to New York. Roma were working on those carnivals, which travelled by train, but they also had their own smaller carnivals that just travelled, say, in the Northwest Territories area or in Eastern Canada. So the carnivals lasted up until about just before the First World War. The Depression had a lot to do with the death of the carnivals. So the Roma began moving into the cities in Canada and the U.S. They found new methods of work in the cities. Fortune-telling. They opened fortune-telling parlors and storefronts. It was easier to transfer from dealing in horses to dealing in used vehicles. Buying and selling of consumer goods, carpets, jewelry, things like this. So they found a niche for themselves, and they vanished. They were no longer traveling with horses and caravans. They lived in the urban centers, retained their language and culture, but dressed like everyone else, and in the multicultural cities, they merged into the mass. So a mythology grew up that the Roma in Canada and the U.S. had become extinct. By the 1950s, most Canadians or Americans believe there are no gypsies in our countries. They must have died out with the end of horse trading. They're still here. There's over a million in the U.S. and probably over 80,000 in Canada. So anyway, as far as the Canadian public, the Canadian government was concerned, the Roma had disappeared. One group who knew they hadn't was the police departments because of the fortune-telling. And there was constant harassment by the police, not for what the Roma did, but simply because the police believed the Roma are criminals by heredity. This is one of the things we are having to combat, this stereotype. By the 1980s, the Roma were not an issue in Canada, because during the communist period, Roma who came here as refugees simply came in with the rest of the refugees fleeing communism. So who could tell if somebody came in as a Hungarian, whether he was Romani or a Hungarian, or the same thing for Bulgaria or Poland. So Canadian immigration had lists of how many Polish refugees came in or how many Russian refugees, but not how many of them were Roma, because that wasn't an issue. The issue was country of origin. Canadian immigration keeps records only for national origin, officially keeps records only for national origin, not for ethnic or religious background. But anyone who knows anything about the immigration system knows that they do have unofficial records, and certain groups are targeted. The ship ferry found the Romani address when just under 2,000 Czech Roma came here in 1997 as seeking a political asylum as Roma. What do you mean, Roma? You're coming from a democracy, the Czech Republic. It's no longer communist. Ah, but now there's persecution. You see, under communism, Roma were protected. But after the end of communism, all the neo-Nazis, the fascists, the ethnic cleansers, skinheads came out of the woodwork and targeted the Roma. Anyway, this is what put the Roma on the map as an ethnic group in Canada, the arrival of the Czech Roma. They were followed by Hungarian Roma and others, which resulted in us having to form the first Roma NGO in Canada, a Roma Community and Advocacy Center. Myself, Amdi Asanowski, Patricia Ritter, and Paul Sinclair, we were the founding members. That has now grown into the organization we have now, which is collaborating with the university, which has resulted in this first course in Romani studies. So that is a brief background of the Roma in Canada, why they are suddenly in focus now after many years of assumed invisibility.
Thanks, Ron.